is the Lord. That's a wonderful truth, too. Psalm 103, Psalm 103. How many of you this past year, 2011, read through your Bible all the way through? How many? Raise your hands. All right, a lot of hands up. Praise the Lord. That's great, 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 great. All right, and now look, that we've been doing this now for quite a few years. We have Bible reading schedules at the Welcome Center, and you can pick those up. Honestly, if you read five chapters a day, you will read through your Bible in 1 year, and that's a great thing to do. Of course, last year we had many do that, or 2 years ago, and then it looks like we'll have quite a few. Again, we'll have the opportunity for you to fill something out that you read through your Bible, and we'll give certificates out again as we have been doing. But last year was also special because we took our time out to honor and celebrate the 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible, and we read through it in Sunday morning, right after the morning service, starting at noon. We started reading right here in the auditorium, had a little lectern set up, and had the super giant print Bible open, so for people like myself who needed to see it. And we started reading, and we read every minute, every hour, all the way till Wednesday night at the end of the service, and we read through Revelation, finished up together. And that was exciting. That really was a blessing. And read all the way through the Bible in those 3 days, 77, 78, something like that, hours. And that was a blessing. It was an exciting time. You know, it's God's Word, and if we really believed that, we'd read it. And I wish we would. I wish folks would read the Word of God. I hope you will read through your Bibles. Brother Chad Dahlberg has told me about a challenge that he's giving to those who are pre-junior high. Is that correct? Any elementary young people, if they read all the way through their Bibles, you're going to take them to Golden Corral. Is that right? Is that what you said? Okay. All right. So that is a good thing. So if you are in elementary school, young men, right? All right, so if girls want to do it too, he'll work something out there, but just read through your Bible. You've got to start. You know, today you should be at Genesis 5. Well, you should be at Genesis 6, so just read five chapters. I don't know if that's what the schedule says, but that is one way to do it. So I would encourage you to do that. And how many of you elementary students will read through your Bible this year? You're going to do it. You're going to start. All right, I believe both Dahlberg boys did last year, is that correct? Is that right? Both boys did, and you fellas, your dad's going to take you out, right, to Golden Corral? You already did it? Then he's going to get you a toy? Okay, let's move on. Anyway, we already did that, right? He's going to play army with you? Oh, wait, we don't talk about that now. It's not politically correct. We could get in trouble. All right, not army. We're going to play liberals. It's a new game. Sit around. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. All right. So, no, let's get into the Bible. Psalm 100, this is a passage. I'll tell you, this is such a good passage. Verse 8, Psalm 103, verse 8. It says this: the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Aren't you glad? I mean, aren't you glad that he's slow to anger? He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Aren't you glad about that, too? Amen. I mean, do we deserve him to be mad at us sometimes? Oh, yeah, we sure do. No doubt about that. We deserve his anger sometimes. But notice, neither will he keep his anger forever. That's a blessing to me. And then I have verse 10 underlined. I have a big amen after it. It says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? Oh, would we be in trouble? We'd all be a greasy spot. Right? I mean, that's what we deserve. There is a verse right there. You ought to have amen. You ought to have little stars written by it and little circles around it. And fireworks ought to go off every time you read that. Amen. Thank God that he hath not dealt with us after our sins. We all deserve hell. Every one of us does. And he's nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You say, oh, well, I haven't done anything that bad. Hey, anything that we've done that is sin is that bad. And anything that we've done that is sin put Jesus on a cross. But he has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's not looked at us and said, okay, you've lied, you've cheated, you've stolen, you've done this, and now here's your reward. No, 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 he's not done that. Because he sent his son to die on a cross to pay for our sins. Glory to God. I mean, that's a good verse right there. Praise the Lord for verse 10. But then it gets better. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him, as far as the east is from the west. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't calculate that. Okay, I don't know how far the east is from the west. I think it's infinite. Amen? Amen. As far as the east is from the west, because the easter you go, the wester you are. Figure it out. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That far. That's infinite. Okay, they're gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Amen. They're gone. And then the deepest sea is they're farther away than that. They're gone. Now, and verses 13 and 14, that's where I get my text from. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That's a great, great verse for 2012. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Wow. I mean, he doesn't deal with us after our sins. He doesn't reward us according to our iniquities. Instead, he has pity on us. One of the most precious truths that I learned as a new convert, and it just always amazes me as I think about it, is God given me another chance. I'm amazed at all the chances God's given me. I'm amazed every time he gives me another chance. He doesn't swat me away. He loves me. He doesn't crush me like I deserve. He just pities me. He knows me. And as a father pitieth his children. Doesn't say as a man pities another man, because that only goes so far. It's as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And as a father does with his child, he gives us another chance. That's 2012. It's another year. Check, see if you're still alive. If you are, you got another chance. Isn't that something? We got a whole other year. Now, we may not get the whole year, as I preached this morning. Rapture may take place in the next 20 minutes. I don't know. May take place before we have the Lord's Supper. We'll go ahead and have it up there. Amen. Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But it's another chance. And over and over, two of the most precious words to me is just another chance. Can I have another chance? Father, would you let me have another chance? And I want to talk to you about those two words tonight, another chance, because that's what we all have. We have another chance. Another chance. Father, thank you so much for the pity. You know my frame. You know my weaknesses, my faults. You know all those things. You know my failures. And over and over and over, you've given me another chance. Thank you. Thank you for giving Berean Baptist Church another chance, another year, another opportunity to be in the prisons, another opportunity to work with our shepherds, another opportunity to go soul winning in Lenawee County and Adrian and all around, another opportunity to run our buses and pick up little children so they can hear the wonderful gospel. Another opportunity to have vacation Bible school. Another chance to have a missions conference and somehow help make a difference in our world. You've given us another chance to vote coming up. Another chance to pray before we vote. Another chance for revival in America. Another chance for your work to be accomplished and another chance for our light to shine. Just another chance. Thank you. And I pray it'll become real to us tonight, that we'll take it seriously and we'll take advantage of another chance. Please bless the preaching, Father. I pray you will. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember Dad, when he first got a riding lawnmower, and of course for many, you know, especially younger people, they kind of take that for granted. I remember when color televisions first came out, at least when we got our first one. But I remember Dad getting his riding lawnmower, and I was so excited about that. I wasn't very old, and Dad, it's funny, when he had a push mower, I didn't ever want to help. But when he got that riding mower, that was like, you know, just unbelievable. I mean, I'm ready, Dad, I'm ready to mow. Funny how things change. But anyway, I'm ready. I'll mow the grass, Dad. Oh, yeah, let me mow. Son, I don't think you're old enough. Come on, Dad, I can do it. And sure enough, he let me try to mow the grass. We had probably a quarter of an acre yard, I suppose, and it was a nice yard. Dad took very good care of it, and he tried to explain to me about the lines and trying to get everything straight and everything. But when I got on that mower, it was something happened to me. And he turned the mower on, and you know, he showed me how to do all that, and I cranked that thing on, and something came over me, and I went wild all over the yard, circles around, up, down, every clump. I decided to hit it. I mean, I'm just going all over the place, and it was amazing how that after I spent all that time mowing the yard, Dad was not smiling, and in fact, Dad went ahead and remowed the yard. I still, to this day, just can't imagine him doing that. Now, you know, Dad was not happy with my job that I did, and I still can remember when it was the next week, and I said, Dad, the lawn needs mowed. He said, Son, don't even get near the mower. You can do the trim, which, by the way, back in those days, we either did the little hand clipper or we just pulled with our hands, and trim wasn't exciting. I could still see me. Please, Dad, just give me another chance. He's remembering. I mean, I had circles here and there and swoops there. And I mean, it was amazing how I was learning how to mow. But, you know, Dad did give me another chance. And I botched up that job, too. And he gave me another chance. And I messed up that job, too. And he gave me another chance. And one of those times, I ran into the dog's doghouse. And that wasn't a pretty sight. Another time, I mowed down one of Dad's little trees that he had planted. But he kept giving me another chance. And that's like a father. Now, you know, my dad was pretty smart, and he knew that one of these days I'd figure it out. And one of these days I'd mow straight lines. And one of these days I wouldn't want to do it. And he would remind me, remember how you wanted to do this? And sure enough, I ended up mowing the grass all the time. But he kept giving me another chance. That's how a father is. That's how my heavenly Father is. It's nothing for God to give you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 chances in a day. It's amazing why we can go to bed at night and not just praise Him for the day that we had and for all the chances that He gave us, and another chance and another chance and another chance as we mess up over and over and over again. Give me another chance. It happens all the time as a pastor, as a parent. You remember hearing those words? I've heard those words as a pastor, as a leader in Christian schools. Come on, couldn't I just have another chance? When I didn't do well on that test, could I just have another chance? Let me take the test again. I'll do whatever. Just give me another chance. It's interesting. A student can go for the first 9 weeks and not do so well, and they get another chance and do well. I was thinking this morning about all the chances I've given different people. I was thinking about how some have worked out very well, those other chances. And then I thought about some that didn't work out so well. But you know, with God, He doesn't gauge it that way. He knows our frame, the Bible says, and He pities us. As a father pitieth his children, God pities us. And here it is, New Year's Day, and we get another chance. Somehow, all the blunders and all the errors and all the stupidity of last year can kind of be pushed aside, and we get another chance. Isn't that great? It's amazing. That's how it is with school to some extent. You know, no matter how bad it was, no matter what all happened, somehow when you start a new semester, it's like woohoo! I start over again. There's some students that were, you know, they were hanging on with all these demerits, and it's like, oh, you know, I can't get another demerit. I just can't mess up again. I can't. And now everything is gone. You start all over again, and you get another chance unless you have a detention to serve that you didn't. Which there are a couple, I just thought of some. Yeah, you say, oh, praise God, preacher's going to forget. I might, Mrs. Varnum won't. But, you know, another chance. You know, what a blessing. I mean, you say, well, nothing seems to go right. Hey, if you are here right now, something went right. You got another chance. I mean, you got another chance. And, you know, think about that. Another chance. I've heard people refer to God as the God of the second chance, but really, second was passed a long, long time ago with me. God passed second. I mean, it was second chance way back right after I first got saved, and he gave me a second chance. But he's given me a third, fourth, fifth, who knows how many hundreds of chances. So I just simply called it another chance. You know, in a sense, that's what salvation is. It's another chance. It's another opportunity at life to do it right, to have life as God intended us to have life. Life as God intended for Adam and Eve to have life. I mean, it's life. It's his life. It's abundant life. It's a life of walking with God and serving God and loving God and doing the will of God. It's another chance. Thank God for our salvation. Thank God for every day another chance. Thank God for a clean slate. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And I started thinking about another chance in the Bible, and people that God gave another chance. The principle is as clear as our salvation. But you know, David got another chance. You think about David, and it's an amazing story in the Bible. Psalm 51 is where David is asking for it. He asks God to forgive him and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He just says, I messed up. Did he ever? By the way, I doubt that anyone in this room did what David did. I'm sure that no one in this room went to the extent of David's sin. You say tonight, you know, God won't give me another chance, but he gave David another chance. I don't know of anybody that's done what David did. Did he deserve another chance? By the way, it's amazing how we know somebody that is close to doing what David did, and we just look at him in a negative way and don't try to help him, don't try to encourage him, don't try to lift him up, don't try to... But, you know, God gave David another chance. Amen. Boy, we're hard on people, aren't we? Isn't it amazing how hard we are on people, but God's not hard on us? You ought to circle verse 10 and put all kinds of little notations to it. And next time you're having trouble with somebody, go back to Psalm 103, verse 10. Next time you want to stomp somebody because they did something wrong, maybe you ought to go back to verse 10. And maybe you ought to consider some things about that. And I'm not talking about discipline. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about another chance. Do you think you could give somebody another chance? Well, David didn't deserve it. We don't either. By the way, folks, we didn't deserve the first chance. I mean, if you really think about it, that's good theology. We don't deserve the first chance. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The fact that we have life, we don't even deserve that. You think about David, and David in Psalm 51 is begging God for another chance. Now, we don't have to wait until the new year, but it's sure a good time to come to him and say, God, I'd like another chance. I messed up with my Sunday school class. I sinned, and when I sinned, I became a failure as far as really having an impact on those kids or on my bus route or with my class or with my family or whoever it is. It's sure a good time to say, God, I'd like another chance. Do you need another chance? I mean, sins in your life. You've messed up big time. You need another chance? Come to the Lord tonight. Other Bible characters. Of course, Israel. What? Israel, over and over and over again. Another chance, another chance, another chance. Somebody says, you know, the Old Testament's boring to me. Are you kidding? Wow. I mean, Israel alone. You talk about an example to me. Over and over and over. God said, okay, you're going to do your own thing? Then you'll go into captivity. Okay, God, we've been in captivity now. Please forgive us. We want to get right. We want to do right. All right, God says, I'll give you another chance. They take their chance. They mess up. And then they're back in captivity. And then they get right. And then back in captivity. Over and over and over, God deals with them. And I see myself there. Do you see yourself there? Jacob, God gave him another chance. You know, Jacob, amazing story. His name means trickster. And oh, did he have a trick for his brother Esau. Huh? He sure did. And he was a schemer all the way. I mean, he was a schemer. He was a conniver. And when he was fleeing from Esau, he needed another chance because he was headed for a rocky road. He had met God and he had made vows to God at Bethel. And boy, he had all kinds of problems, and he got backslidden. God told him, go back to Bethel. Why? Because he said, Jacob, I want to give you another chance. I want to give you another chance. You made some vows to me. Now, let me give you another chance to keep those vows. We are very flippant with our vows. We can be very flippant at the altar. We can make vows and not think a thing about what it means to make those vows. We see it in marriages today. By the way, the reason so many people live together, besides the fact that they're sinful, they've seen so many marriages fail. They've seen so many people just give up after 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And why do marriages fail? Well, because people aren't willing to keep their vows. That's why marriages fail. Oh, no, you don't understand. He quit loving her. No, that's not why. He's not willing to love her. Oh, she quit loving him. No, she's just not willing to love it. Love means to sacrifice yourself. Love means to put them first. Love means if you're going to make a vow and you're going to vow that you're going to love this person, you're going to promise that you're going to love this person, and it's all in the vows, sickness, health. Yeah, but you don't plan on them ever being sick. Right. Poverty, wealth, but you don't ever plan on the poverty coming. Yeah, you know, good times, bad times. Well, you don't think about the bad times coming. But it's just a matter of keeping your vows, that's all. That's what's wrong with marriages today, is people just aren't keeping their vows. They're not willing to. When I counsel somebody before they get married, I talk to them about the sacredness of vows. And you are going to vow to one another in front of God and in front of witnesses that you are going to do these things. And you're making a vow. Sir, you make a vow to her. That is your vow that you're going to love her. You're going to cherish her. That means you're going to take care of her no matter what. I don't care if you feel good. Don't care if you feel bad. Don't care how you feel. You keep your vows. There's a lot of marriages. I'm serious. A lot of marriages right here that folks need to get on an altar and say, God, give me another chance. Because I have totally messed up. There are husband after husband after husband. You said you'd love her, but you don't have a clue. Not even the slightest idea what it is. Because it's to put her first. Well, I love her as long as she fixes what I like to eat. That's not what it says. And that's not what you vowed. Well, I love her as long as she submits. That's not what you vowed. You vowed to love her. No matter what. Amen. Same thing with our vows at camp, teenagers, conferences, pastor school, vows. In college, vows. God, I promise you I will do this. Where are you? You see, thank God, though, for another chance. I know. You know, here's what we love to do. We love to say, God ain't going to let me do it now. No, you're just too lazy to do it. God will let you do it. God knows your frame. He knows you can do it. How do you know that? I can do all things through Christ. You made the vow. Now you do it. Tithing. Some of you are so far behind, you just, oh, well. It's not oh, well. Will a man rob God? Well, I know I told God I was going to. Yeah, I know. Vows, promises. How about reading through your Bible? Ran out of time. What are you going to do? Well, I guess I'll just get discouraged and do nothing. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to say. Or you could say, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust, and he'll give me another chance. And he will. And if you failed in 2011, don't fail in 2012. If you made a vow to God, you said, God, I'm going to pray in 2011, but you didn't pray. You just didn't do it. Then do it in 2012. If you said, God, every week I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to tell people about Jesus, but you haven't done it. Then instead of, you know, quitting, instead of giving up, then get on the altar tonight and say, God, please help me. 2012, I'm going to keep this vow. Whatever the vow. Jonah was a man that received another chance. You know the story. He got another chance. A preacher running from preaching. It's amazing. He didn't want to do it. He just didn't feel like it. Maybe he wanted the way we understand it, kind of. He just wanted them all to die and go to hell. Didn't matter to him. He got another chance, though, to do God's will. Maybe in 2011 you failed to do God's will. You knew what God wants you to do, but you didn't do it. You knew what God was saying. You were in the invitation. You were so close to doing what God wants you to do, but. But think about Jonah, you know, before you just decide to quit. Hey, if it was God's will in 2011, he probably would like you to go ahead and do it in 2012. Yeah, do it. I want to remind you about Jonah and God giving him another chance. It affected other people. It always does. And whatever situation you're in, whatever it is that you were supposed to do in 2011, I would want you to understand that it's affecting other people if you don't do it. You need to do it. Moses got another chance. It amazes me. You know, I remember the first time as a new Christian, I'm reading my Bible and I'm learning things in the Bible, and it was all new to me as a late teenager. I went on to Bible college, and so much of it was new to me even then. But I remember finally hearing that Moses killed a guy. You know, when did you find that out later on in your Christianity? You found out, Moses, you mean the guy with the white beard and, you know, Charlton Heston? No, but Moses, he killed somebody. Yeah, he's a murderer. Whew. He just had a bad day one day and he got angry. Killed a fella, killed an Egyptian. But God worked with him for 40 years. Huh? And God gave him another chance, and he did something great. Maybe you were angry one day. You used some words you shouldn't have used. You said some things. You caused a problem. Maybe you were angry with your spouse, and you let your mouth speak before you analyzed what it was going to say. Bad. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a loved one. Maybe you did something just totally foolish because of your anger. But you know, like God gave Moses another chance, I think he'd give you another chance too. Sometimes it has to start with the words, I'm sorry. I messed up. But thank God that he'll give you another chance. Where would we be without Moses? Where would the children of Israel have been? What would they have done? I mean, Moses was the leader that God chose for them. It's amazing to think, had he not been given another chance. That's how God always is. Are you listening? I'm really just about done. It's how God always is. He gives us another chance. Hey, what are you going to miss out on because you don't ask for that other chance? What is it you're not going to do and you haven't done since maybe 2002? And God keeps giving you another chance, another chance. And you just say, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm going to quit now. Don't quit. Don't quit. Samson had another chance. I love the story of Samson. He had God's power in such a great way. And he was doing such a great work for the Lord, and he blew it because of women. Yeah, you'd be amazed how many people, how many lives because of a relationship that is not a right relationship. That's why you ought to listen to your parents, listen to your teachers, listen to your pastor, seek counsel. We see things that you don't see. Samson blew it. I think about those men taking those red hot pokers and slowly putting that in his eye and burning that eye out of the socket. One right after the other, and now he has no eyes. But how he must have prayed as a blind slave. How he must have begged God, please God, just give me one more chance to deal with these Philistines. And God did. You used to be used by God, and you messed up. Or maybe you messed up and quit. Nobody even knows you messed up, but you do. Why don't you ask God for another chance? Why don't you beg God for another chance? Here's the thing. Why stay in the mill blind? Why not say, God, please use me. I just want to be used. All over this room are people, you know, from here all the way back, we've all blown it. We've all messed up one way or the other. We've all had opportunity. We've all messed up with that opportunity. We've had God's power, perhaps, all over this room are people that have seen God do great things, and God's done them with them. Why would you settle for just a so-so life when God says, I'll give you another chance? He pitieth them that fear him. Peter got another chance. He denied Christ. He quit the ministry. Fear, discouragement kicked in. At the Sea of Galilee, Jesus met him again. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Oh, you know I love you, God. You know I love you. What's Jesus saying? Feed my sheep. He's saying, I'll give you another chance. Later, Peter died for him. They say hung on a cross upside down because he wasn't worthy to die like Jesus. Praise God for another chance. Where would we be? What would we know? What would we have missed out on had we not had Peter and his influence and his teaching and his preaching and the day of Pentecost? But there's a man that blew it big time. You read the story and you watch his downfall, and it's just like us. It really is. Peter, will you deny me? Oh, I would never. You know I would not. You know that I wouldn't deny you. But in reality, Jesus knew that he would. And Peter in himself wasn't strong enough. What did Jesus tell him? He said, pray. Pray. Satan's going to sift you like wheat. Pray. Pray, Peter. Peter said, okay. Kind of like we pray, right? And oh, did he ever blow it. But he got another chance. And I believe with all my heart he got another chance and another chance and another chance. The Father, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And he just wants you to come. Do you fear him tonight? where you could get on an altar and say, God, I blew it. I'd sure like another chance. One of my favorite stories in Luke 15, prodigal son. You talk about another chance. What a story. I mean, he had it all figured out, right? And we think we have it all figured out. I think about folks that I've talked to, I've pastored over the years. I'm thinking of somebody, right? You know, hey, I got this thing all figured out. And I'm going to do this thing. And I know what I'm... And that was the prodigal son. That was the prodigal son, you know. But I love the way the Bible tells the story. And he gets in a total mess. And we can... Isn't it amazing what a mess we can get in? I mean, honestly, you read about the prodigal son and the pig pen that he's in, and he's eating the food the pigs won't eat because there's pig mud and mess all over it. And I mean, I'm talking about we're in a nasty situation. And he's covered in that stuff. And you know, his dad, every day, I think he's looking down the lane to see if his son's coming back. Every day. And I guess I think about the father. As the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I think about the ways that I've blown it and some of the things that I didn't accomplish or that I didn't do that I was supposed to do. And I think, you know, Satan would love for me to just say, okay, forget it. Then just forget it. I'm just not going to do it. But there's a father that just keeps checking. He keeps looking. I wonder if he'll come and make that right. I wonder if he'll come and do that I told him to do. I wonder if he'll come and get that right and get that settled. I wonder how long he's going to stay out in the pig pen. I wonder if he'll just come home. That's what he wants you to do today. He wants you to come. It says, those that fear him. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. To fear him is to come and kneel before him at an altar and say, God, I blew it. You know why so many are still in trouble today, spiritually? However you want to look at it. So many. And I know it's a Sunday night crowd, and everybody here is good people. But you know why we stay in so much trouble? It's because we don't get on the altar and bow the knee and say, God, I blew it. And I'm sorry. Could I have another chance? Could I just have another chance? Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know what? With that mercy comes another chance. Start the year off right with another chance. Let's bow our heads, please. I remind you that in just a few moments we'll have the Lord's Supper together. Let a man examine himself tonight. Do you need that another chance? Father, bless the invitation. Please speak to our hearts. If there's someone here not saved, please save them. Help Christians to make the decisions. And give some folks another chance tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.